Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The debate over whether Massachusetts students receive enough civics instruction isn't necessarily a new one. In 2009, the state actually created a civics component for the MCAS, only to have then-Governor Deval Patrick nix the idea due to the $2.4 million price tag. But the tide of public support for a more robust civics curriculum may be turning as both the House and the Senate on Beacon Hill overwhelmingly passed versions of a civics education bill in recent weeks. Senate President Harriet Chandler, who has filed a number of civics education bills over the years, talked with us about why she feels this is such an important issue.
I've been going to schools for a number of years now, getting students to sign up to vote if they're almost of age. And what I've learned is that they're interested, they want to be leaders, but they don't have the faintest idea how they're governed.
Well, at the same time that legislation is being considered, the State Board of Elementary and Secondary Education is planning an update to the History and Social Sciences curriculum framework, a multi-year process that culminates in a vote by the board at the end of the month. Now, for more on civics in the classroom, let's turn to Arielle Jennings. She's executive director for Generation Citizen Massachusetts. They helped draft both the new curriculum framework and the Senate bill that passed, by the way, 32-4, so overwhelmingly. Arielle, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
And I should say you're joining us from Brighton, England today, is that right?
I am indeed.
Okay. Also with us is Jessica Lander. She's a civics teacher at Lowell High School and a contributor to the Boston Globe. Jessica, welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let me just start with you, Arielle, and give us a sense about this bill pending on Beacon Hill. We heard Senate President Chandler there. If it ultimately passes and becomes law, what would it hope to accomplish?
The civics bill is very exciting and potentially very transformational for Massachusetts. If passed, it would require that all schools infuse civics education from the K-12 curriculum. And in addition, it would ask schools to integrate project-based civics, something we call action civics, into classrooms where students actually go out and have real-world experience engaging with local government and civic leaders.
Uh-huh.
The civics bill also calls for, on the Senate side, a $1.5 million budget to make this possible every year and support districts and schools and teachers in professional development
right.
So this can get done.
So I'm looking at the bill here, and it says the education shall include instructions in the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration, the Constitution of the Commonwealth, interestingly, local history and government, and programs relating to the flag of the United States of America. But most importantly, a line here saying to prepare students morally and intellectually for the duties of citizenship. So Jessica Lander, I mean, you're in the classroom every day. Is this not happening right now? Not necessarily in your classroom, but like in classrooms generally in Massachusetts.
So I think there are a lot of classrooms across Massachusetts are starting to do this work. And I think Lowell in particular has been really committed to ensuring that every student has an action-based civics approach. And really sort of building on what Arielle just said, that action civics, when we talk about it, is that civic knowledge, which you were mentioning, but also is two other key components. And that's the motivation. We want students to be engaged and want them to create change. And the civic tools, the skills they need to actually go out into the community and make that change possible. So I'm seeing really across the state some really exciting things happening in classrooms, but it's taking the leadership and vision of schools and districts to do this.
So I guess my question is, though, then why do we need this? Why do we need this bill?
So
I can jump in there, Jess. I think while there are these fantastic examples across schools and districts, we have actually seen over the last decade or so social studies, the teaching of history decline, and in particular subjects that have mandates to them for standardized tests increase in the resources that go to them. So
math and reading primarily, right?
Yeah, Yeah. So we've actually seen social studies disappearing from some middle schools and civics courses in particular disappearing. So this bill will provide the resources for a resurgence in this and not only teach civics in a rote civic knowledge-based way, but one that invites those skills and dispositions to be taught as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is a major sticking point, I think, in a lot of, for some schools and parents, that because MCAS is such an important part of the state's view of education, that some districts tend to, whether on purpose or not, tailor the instructional time around what MCAS requires. And for as long, I mean, we were talking about how there was an effort a couple of years ago to get civics or social studies in as an MCAS test, but that failed. Anyway, moving on. Jessica, look, I got kids in school right now, so I'm awash in all of this. But Jessica, let me ask you, I mean, again, you're working with young people every day.
Yeah.
And we are living in a time right now due to the current political moments, due to technology and the media, where, you know, on the one hand, especially when we're talking about middle schoolers and high schoolers, they're kind of awash in politics, not necessarily civics. I mean, mm-hmm. How much do you get a sense as do they naturally know about how government is supposed to work?
So my students don't always know when we start off at the beginning of the year, and I teach U.S. history and then a seminar on American diversity and that history. They don't always know how government works in the beginning, but what I am really inspired is all my students want to make a difference. And so I think we're then combining those three elements, that motivation, that drive, with the knowledge that they need to make a difference and the skills they need to make a difference. But my students across the board care deeply about their community. And I teach almost all recent immigrants and refugees from more than 30 different countries. Uh-huh. And they have made America their new home. And they are so excited and passionate about making their community a better place. And so the question for us as teachers is, how do we give them the skills and the knowledge to allow them to do that?
Now, you do some experiential civics education?
Absolutely.
What practically speaking, what does that look like?
Yeah, so it takes many different forms. And that's sort of what's exciting about Action Civics, is that it looks different depending on what your goal is. So, for example, in the winter, we're studying the progressive era, and we're looking at muckraker journalists who shed light on social issues. And I have my students then, as the culmination of that, go write op-eds on issues they care about. And we learn how to write an op-ed. I'm a journalist myself. They write on bullying and on mental health and on the ideas of virtual technology in the classroom. And excitingly for us in Lowell, the Lowell Sun has published some of the 10 best op-eds each year. Mm. And so, like, that's one type of Action Civics. But then in the spring, we partner with Generation Citizen, and each class takes on a full-on project to try to create change. So to make it concrete, last spring, students in one class decided that hunger was the issue they wanted to care about, because they had lots of friends who were coming to them saying that they were hungry on the weekends. They have their own, some of them have their own experiences with hunger. And so they started talking to experts, they started talking to local nonprofits, and they decided that they wanted to open up a school-based food pantry. And so then they had to do that hard work. And those are the tools and the skills. They had to write memos. They had to do cost analysis. They had to meet with faculty members and with nonprofits. And what's really exciting, what I love about Action Civics, is this fall, those kids opened up a school-based food pantry in our school in partnership with the Merrimack Valley Food Bank. And it's been serving kids all year.
Wow. Well, Arielle Jennings, to get sort of back to some of the practical differences between the Senate and House versions of this bill, we were just talking about the student-led projects. I understand that that those student-led projects would be required for graduation in the Senate version of the bill, but the House makes these projects optional. It seems like there's a concern on the House side for making it a requirement.
Yes, that is the fundamental difference between the two bills, and hopefully will be reconciled in the next couple of weeks in a committee. I think there are pros and cons to a mandate for the civics projects. From the pros argument, I think that requiring schools to do this and providing a mandate, we've seen in the education system resources flow where a mandate exists. We see this with standardized tests. So it would allow for resources to be funneled to teachers to do this good work. In particular, we see huge disparities in action-based civics as it relates to wealthier communities and lower-income communities. So it would ensure that all schools are doing this work, and therefore all young people are prepared for citizenship. on the cons, it certainly is a lot to expect from schools. The resources will be high, and to add another graduation requirement for students is a burden on them. And so if there is a way, if the mandate does not remain, but for large incentives to be put in place for districts and schools to do this, hopefully they can come up with a creative way to still highly incentivize it without a mandate.
Yeah. I want to play a little bit more tape from Senate President Harriet Chandler, because there's also a media literacy component in the legislation. Mm-hmm. And it's one that Senate President Chandler says that she feels is perhaps one of the most important parts of the bill.
Being able to analyze news media is very important across all grade levels, because it's the skills like reading a piece of journalism. It's skills like listening to our media and determining, is this fake news or is this real? And how do you determine that? How do you analyze its legitimacy? How do you understand and where do you go to find out its relevancy?
Now, I have to say, obviously, I am not totally objective about this because I'm in the media, but I think this is vitally important, right? Because information is the currency of our time, right? But Jessica, when I heard Senate President Chandler say that, I thought, okay, so there's these concrete skills, media literacy, understanding the civic machinery in terms of how government is supposed to work, understanding what your rights are, what our laws actually say and how they're created. But there's also politics here, right? Because, I mean, I guess, is it hard to, do you try to keep politics or political views out of the classroom when you're teaching civics? Is that even possible?
It's hard to keep politics out, but we are trying to approach it from a historical angle and to look at placing the politics in history. And so how are we understanding it based on, I'm an American history teacher, so putting it in perspective. But I think the key point that I'm excited about the media literacy component is that my students are reading the news all the time and they're coming to me, have you read this? Is this true? And they don't yet, again, have the tools to understand and for themselves figure out if that's true or not. And so this needs to be an essential component of what we're teaching in schools, along with action civics. And both are just going to empower students.
Yeah. You know, Arielle Jennings, I have a quick question for you, because one of the things that I think I've heard from a lot of Massachusetts teachers over the past many years is they love their jobs and they want the freedom and independence to teach each child to the best ability that they can. This could also be seen as another top-down mandate from the state, though. I mean, are teachers going to be given the time and training to expand their skills in curriculum?
I think it's going to take a lot of infrastructure to make this work. I think the $1.5 million budget attached to this bill that can occur year after year will be a very important resource to have. And frankly, if that is not attached to the bill is probably not worthwhile to pass. And I also think it's going to take leadership from districts like we've seen in Lowell, Massachusetts, and the support of districts to make common planning time for teachers and professional development time.
Yeah.
So it will be an effort that is large, but definitely worthwhile. Our education system in this country was founded on the premise to prepare young people for civic life and for a democracy. So it's really important to recommit to that effort in the state of Massachusetts.
Right. I go back to the language of this bill that says it's to prepare students morally and intellectually for the duties of citizenship or residency or just being active members of your community. It seems vitally important that we help students achieve those goals however we can. Well, Jessica Lander, social studies teacher at Lowell High School and a contributor to the Boston Globe, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me in.
And Arielle Jennings, executive director for Generation Citizen Massachusetts, thank you so much as well.
Thank you.
And listeners, what do you think? Should Massachusetts be pushing more civics education into classrooms? Let us know. Go to radioboston.org to send us a comment or send us a tweet at Radio Boston. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.